You're tuned to High Plains Morning on member-supported High Plains Public Radio. And I am so excited whenever I get to talk to another human person. We don't really have these in studios like we used to, but we do have telephones. So on High Plains Morning, we play a lot of music, as you know. We try to feature folks from our region. I have got a Texas-based artist on the line right now, Diana Burgess. Her album, You Run, has been featured prominently on High Plains Morning for the last couple months. It did come out last year, but this is one of those things where I say, Diana, when I get it and it's open, that means it just came out to me. So we thank you so much for spending some time with us on High Plains Morning and sharing some of the insight about this fabulous album, You Run, which I believe is your first one, no?
It is, yeah.
That's wonderful. Now, let's go ahead and remind people, you've been in the studio here before. You've been at a living room concert before. We've had you down here at Starlight Canyon Bed and Breakfast, and you came during the blizzard of 2019, October 2019.
Oh, yeah.
And that must have been a real fun drive-in.
Yeah, it was crazy. Driving from Austin and then all of a sudden just blizzard in Amarillo. I'm like, okay.
And you probably don't expect that too much, but it turns out we do have odd weather here sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you came with Curtis McMurtry and you accompany him during his shows, and you've worked with him quite a bit as well. But you also collaborate with another group, Mother Falcon, which I don't have any Mother Falcon in my rotation. I would love to get some of that because you guys are just incredible. Could you tell us a little bit about your collaborations and how it is that all this has just kind of culminated in your first album?
Yeah. So I've been part of Mother Falcon for, gosh, over 10 years since I was in high school, actually. So that was kind of a big part of my musical upbringing and as far as music outside the classical world, because I've been playing cello since I was 5. So I've been kind of deep-rooted in that classical training, which definitely so thankful for, to have that kind of foundation. By the time I got into high school, I was still playing classical music, but really just wanted a little bit more from what I was doing with cello. And I always loved the idea of having cello in a rock band, in any other kind of setting outside of an orchestra. So that was an amazing opportunity to join a band like Mother Falcon, which is kind of a pop, chamber pop orchestra ensemble. And that really opened my eyes to what the cello can do in other capacities. And I had been writing my own songs also since high school, on cello and guitar and singing. And that was always a nice, outlet for me to have my own musical ideas. Because in a group like Mother Falcon, you've got 12 to 15 other musicians around you, which is definitely a different collaborative process. very fun, and it's awesome to see everyone's influences and get to work with that many people. But I was definitely a little bit starved for creating my own music. So that's kind of what this album came out of, is years of, after I was done with anything else, any other tours, work for any other projects, I would sit down and work on my own album. So this is kind of about 6 years coming since I started working on this project.
Well, I can imagine with Mother Falcon, being something that probably was like giving you a little bit of a break from your classical training and performances in that, mm-hmm. being surrounded by so many people and seemingly they would probably be there because they want to use their instruments in different ways. I mean, the sound is just so mm-hmm. different and intense. And then hearing what came out of your album, to me, it was very much like almost like someone writing in their diary. There's a lot of space. There's a lot of calm. It's very spare, but very, just well orchestrated. Everything is just exactly where it wants to be. And the music, I believe, plays with the words in such a beautiful way and just really evokes so many different pieces. But to me, it's such an intimate album. You said 6 years in the making, it's 13 original songs. And I can imagine some were written years before others. Can you talk a little bit mm-hmm. about how you, plucked which ones were going to make it and what order they were going to be in?
Yeah, so definitely some of the older songs, ones that I wrote and even recorded parts of up to 5 or 6 years ago. I was writing a lot from character point of view then, taking very intense, severe subjects, things that I had never personally experienced, and writing those perspectives into a song. And so that was kind of where I was at for a while. And then in 2017, I had quite a crazy couple months of family tragedies. Within the span of 2 months, I had 3 grandparents pass away, and my dad underwent a quadruple bypass surgery. He's good now, but it was kind of a span of 2 months where I was pretty much living in a hospital, and that was definitely very intense. And after that experience, I couldn't do anything except for write from my own point of view, writing about those experiences. So when it came time to have this collection of songs, I had kind of half songs that were written from a totally outside perspective, from some other character talking about things, again, I had never experienced. And then the other half of the album is kind of half an ode to my grandparents and their memories, and just about that experience that I had in 2017.
Yeah, I see that it is your album is dedicated to the lives and memories of your grandparents, Robert Cunningham and Elizabeth and William Burgess. I'm so sorry to hear about that loss. That seems so intense to have that much loss and that much anxiety in such a small amount of time. There's definitely a song on the album that to me evoked that before I even saw that this was dedicated and possibly came from that place. The song Lightning, to me, that was very much the lyrics dealing with a very deep loss and seemingly recurring loss where, you mentioned where, lightning strikes several times. And when you're listening to a lot of music like I do, it's always so refreshing to be able to definitely pick out what the person is saying. And I can always, I know everything that you're saying. You enunciate to the point where I was like, oh, she's talking to me. This is like a phone conversation. So I can hear every one of the lyrics. And so what you're saying is very much getting through so clearly to me. And this one I thought was, really beautiful. One of the themes that I keep hearing across the album, most of the songs, is something about a halting of breath and being unable to breathe and having failing lungs and not being able to catch your breath. There's many, many times across some of these songs, there's something about being held under, and there's this kind of like choking, suffocating feeling that keeps weaving itself in and out of all of these different songs, whether or not they seem as if you're maybe potentially writing from a character's point of view, or if it seems a little more personal and intimate. Can you talk about that theme and how that kind of, it's definitely there in, at least like 4 or 5 of the songs that I could pick out, and I kept seeing it.
Yeah, definitely for some of them, like in the song Lightning, it's quite literal. Being with one of my grandfathers in the hospital as he was dying, it was his lungs that were the last thing to give out. And, being with my other grandfather in hospice, and kind of learning about what death actually looks like, which I had never really experienced up close, just learning about, what it looks like when somebody's about to die, the different breaths, the timing of the breath. So those are kind of the quite literal parts of that.
Some of the ones that I saw from You Run, I bite back my breath, you're not worth the air. And then in Water's Edge, I bring you to the water's edge for us to plunge. I cannot breathe, but oh, the scene is so perfect with you here. Now, those are extremely different expressions. There's this apprehension. I can kind of feel it in my chest. I come from a family of asthmatics. So loss of breath and anything that references it always just goes, and it kind of halts you. I just thought it was really innovative the way that that works itself through in these different songs in such very different ways. Yet I'm feeling that same kind of feeling.
Yeah. And I guess a lot of it is kind of coming from a place of feeling silenced, being a woman for once. For me, being a quite petite person, I feel like I've always had to kind of work harder in certain ways to just be taken seriously. Like many people have had so many experiences of being silenced, of not being listened to, feeling like there was no place for me to even express myself. So I think that some of that comes from those personal feelings as well.
And I love that the name of the album, You Run, could be interpreted as the answer to someone asking, so what do you do when you're threatened? Oh, you run. And then it's also could be, no, you run. I'm done running.
Yeah.
So I love it. There's no punctuation. It's just you run. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the production on this one. Some of the compositions are very, very whispering, and yet they're so strong. They're so powerful. And I see that you're a multi-instrumentalist, as you mentioned, and you know, it looks like there's a lot of things going on here. And I have to point out, I don't know what a water phone is. I'm very curious. But can you talk a little bit about the different instruments you played, including your own body?
Yeah, I wanted a lot of the album to be, you know, fully represented by cello. And so there's a lot of cello, lots of layers of cello. And any of the percussion that you hear is mostly on the body of the cello. And then some of it is also on my body. I'm not a percussionist, but I wanted to represent those beats in kind of that organic way of using my own body and the body of the cello. There are also songs featuring tenor guitar and tenor banjo, which is my ultimate secret weapon because they're both tuned like the cello. So they're both just four strings tuned in fifths, so I can play them quite easily because I don't really know how to play guitar. But those instruments are so wonderful because it's all the same chord shapes, everything just like cello. So I was very excited to discover that those were instruments that I could use. The water phone was an instrument I just found in the studio when I was recording one day, and I was just instantly fascinated by it. It's kind of almost like a metal vase that you can put water in the bottom of it, and it's got these spindles that come out from it, also metal, and you can either tap them or you can actually bow them with a cello bow. So that was immediately interesting for me too. It's like, oh my gosh, I can, you know, use my bow on this. And it created just this kind of alien siren type sound that I just found super interesting.
Well, if you Google it, the first thing that comes up is instrument that produces sound in horror movies. So that really just goes for it, doesn't it?
Yeah, because it's got that very, like, metallic, kind of almost shrieking sound. Mm-hmm. But it also has that where you can shake it and you can hear the splashing of the water, which I always think is really cool.
Mm-hmm. And while you have lyrics on most of these, two of these songs are actually instrumentals, and it was just this really nice space in there. What made you decide to put those where you put them in the album, in the progression of the story?
I kind of felt like it was a nice transitional period. Bolton Abbey is pretty much right in the middle of the record, so it's almost kind of like splitting it between an A and a B side. And the significance of Bolton Abbey, it's actually this beautiful old abbey in England, in northern Yorkshire. The place that I have been to with my grandparents who used to live in England, and then my other grandparents, it was cool. All of my grandparents were friends, which is kind of rare. And they all lived in England at some point. And so I have pictures of all four of my grandparents at Bolton Abbey. And it just kind of represents this place that's special to me and my family, just with those connections. And it's so beautiful. I absolutely love Yorkshire. And I had always wanted to create a song kind of inspired by the Bach suites, which I absolutely love. All of those suites are unaccompanied cello, so it's just solo cello. And it's amazing how many different kind of voices that it can represent, even just within the one instrument. So that was the main inspiration behind the music for Bolton Abbey.
This seems like such an intimate thing that was so very based on, you know, your experience with your family. You know, when you revealed that the album to your family, was it kind of a healing thing, or was it just, did it bring up a lot of the emotions?
I think it was a little bit difficult for my family to hear it for the first time because that whole year was just so traumatizing for us. Those kind of things don't go away quickly as you discover.
Yeah.
It definitely meant a lot to them to have those times memorialized in that way. And actually, at the end of Bolton Abbey, I actually have a cell phone recording of my grandfather humming and his cane hitting the ground. And at the very end, you can hear my step-grandmother speaking to him. And I'm so glad that I have that recording. I actually lost a lot of the recordings I took of my grandfather's before they passed away. But that was one that survived. So I really wanted to incorporate that, because I also love just the aspect of having field recordings within an album and to have those kind of real textures throughout.
What a spectacular way to honor him, to have him sneaking in there, you know, hiding and clacking around in Bolton Abbey. Wow, that's fantastic. I didn't notice that. I'm going to have to listen to that again.
Yeah, it's kind of quiet. So at the very end of the track, you might have to turn it up a little bit.
All right, I'll crank it during that part. Well, your website is DianaBurgessMusic.com. Anyone can find everything and anything that you're working on there. And you also have a Bandcamp, DianaBurgess.bandcamp.com. I have a quick question about your Mother Falcon Music Lab. I see you are also an outreach director, educator. We are in a time where it's a little tough to teach, yet most of the people who I know who are musicians, a lot of them are doing online lessons and things like that. Can you talk a little bit about how this has been a transition as an educator and music educator having to be socially distanced for COVID?
Yeah, definitely quite a transition. This is the 10th year of Mother Falcon Music Lab. And in any normal year, it's a summer camp, 2 weeks long, and kids get together, we put them in bands, and they learn how to write an original song, start to finish, and they present it at the end of the week at a real Austin music venue. Quite an amazing experience, of course, one that we cannot have in any form now. But this last summer, we were able to transition into a virtual summer, and we had different classes that were available to youth and actually adults for the first time ever. And yes, they were taught over Zoom and kind of focused a little bit more on certain aspects of technology, like Ableton and learning how to mix different sounds that you record. We had a very timely class called Protest Like an Artist and also Rise Up in Song, which focused on protest songs throughout the history and just kind of focusing on what those mean to everybody. So this summer, we're also doing another virtual summer. It'll be a little bit different. We're currently developing it, but it's brought up a really amazing opportunity to be able to present our curriculum to a larger audience. I mean, usually it's just middle and high schoolers in Austin, but this last summer we hosted kids in Spain, kids all over the states, and also some young adults for the first time. So we're definitely really excited to be able to expand in that way, even if it looks totally different from our normal curriculum.
Well, this is so exciting to finally have this album in rotation on High Plains Morning, and we will certainly keep it going. And please stay in touch. We want to know how things are going. We are very hopeful that we will be having live performance back in the very near future. Probably not as near as I want it to be, but hey, we're gonna bring it back. So we can't wait to have you guys back up here to play. And yes, you'll have to haul your cello up, but hopefully it won't be in some kind of a blizzard.
Right.
Well, Diana, thank you so much for your time, and we're going to keep this music going, and we wish you the best, and take very good care of yourself.
Thanks so much for having me.